Right, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. We're going to do Suratul Mumtahana, which is Surah number 60. Okay, so if you turn to Suratul Mumtahana, Surah number 60 is very short. It's 13 ayat and it's a Madani Surah. It's very, very close to Suratul Tawbah, and you'll see why. So the first thing we're going to look at is benefits of recitation. If you have problems with your vision, then recite it, it'll increase vision. It's a protection from insanity, and sometimes all of us go a bit nuts. So it's a protection from insanity. It's a cure for ailments if you recite it on water. And if you recite it in wajib salah, you're filled with iman. I don't see many people, and I talk about myself more than anybody else, reciting Suratul Mumtahana, because I sort of don't even know where that came from sometimes. Okay? If you look at the word Mumtahana, Mumtahana is a feminine word. That's why it's in Woman's Corner in Quran City. And it literally means somebody who is examined or interrogated, or somebody who is asked questions. Somebody, so you know, tested probably. It's also called Al-Imtihan. The surah is called Al-Imtihan, which means examination. It's also called Al-Mawadda, and you recognize why, which is affection. So there's a few names for this surah as well. It refers to, in particular, a lady called Sabia, which is the daughter of Harith, but we'll talk about her in a minute. It talks about those women who came from Makkah to Medina, and we'll talk about the history of it in a little while. But first, I need you to know the focus. So the moment Mumtahana comes in our heads, the first thing is that those who show enmity to Allah, which means those who are unjust to humanity as well, you got to dissociate yourself from them. But you could be just and compassionate to those who may not believe, but still do not display animosity. And finally, this is a protection to the women who believed. So it is protection for women who went from Makkah to Medina and took refuge. And we'll see how it comes into our lives as well. We've divided it, and you've got the building there on this, into four sections. But first, a little bit of a history of why it's called Mumtahana. See, when the Treaty of Hudaybiyah was signed, the treaty said that if a Makkan man, if a man, a man who was part of the Quraysh, who wasn't a Muslim, came to Medina, then the Prophet signed a treaty that that man had to be returned to Makkah. Whilst if a man from Medina went to Makkah, then he didn't have to come back. And that was a treaty they signed. So what happened here, the reason why it's called Mumtahana, and you'll see in the last section, is where there was a woman, in particular the first one, Sabia, daughter of Harith. She came from Makkah to Medina, and she wanted to take refuge there. Now her husband came to say, I want my wife back. And the ayat of the Quran are revealed, which actually say, you cannot take her back. She's not halal to you anymore because she's believed. But before that, she had to go through signing a pledge. When I say signing, taking a pledge. And that pledge was after she was asked whether she believed or not. And she had to go through a certain amount of things that she had to pledge for. And you'll see it as it comes along. So the moment you think Mumtahana, you think of these women who took refuge in Medina. And they said they believed. And they didn't want to be back with those who disbelieved or who covered up the truth again. So we're going to start off with the first ayah, where is a directive. Allah says, Ya ayyuhal ladhina aman, O you who believe, La tattakhidu, do not take aduwi, my enemies, wa aduwukum, and your enemies, don't take them as your protectors. Awliya is a protector. Awali is somebody who protects you, who guards, Imam Ali guards the religion and Imam, okay? Tulkuna ilayhim bil mawadda, which means that you are offering them, and I'll tell you the story in a minute, you are meeting them with mawadda, with selfless love. Wakad kafaru bima ja'akum minal haq, but they deny, they cover up the truth about what has come as truth. Look what they did. Yukhrijuna rasul, they kicked out the prophet. Wa iyakum, and you, only because antu'minu billah, because you believe in Allah, and you said Allah was Rabbikum, your Rabb. And then you're saying, Allah is saying, "In kuntum kharajtum jihadan fi sabili, if you strive hard in my way, wabtigha'a mardati, and you seek my pleasure, you want me, you're seeking me as to what I say, tusiruna ilayhim bilmawatta, how can you secretly then go and show them selfless love? Wa ana a'lamu bima akhfaytum, I know what you hide, wa ma a'lantum, and what you display, وَمَنْ يَفْعَلْهُ مِنْكُمْ, and whoever does this, فَقَدْ دَلَّ سَوَاءَ السَّبِيلِ, you've really moved away from that which is right. So there was a man, and this is something that we can all relate to. His name was Hatib Abi Balta. Hatib, he moved, he was one of the people who fought in the Battle of Badr. So he moved from Mecca to Medina, he was a muhajir, but his wife and children stayed back. Now when they had, and remember the Prophet had discussions called Shura. So when he had these discussions and they decided that they would have the conquest of Mecca, they would go into Mecca without arms and they would go, Hatib got really scared because he thought that if we go to Mecca, he never knew that the Meccans would accept them with no bloodshed. He thought there might be war. And if there was war, he was scared that something might happen to his wife and children. So in good faith, he writes a letter to the Quraysh and he says, if we come in, please don't hurt my wife and children. I want my family to be safe. And the person who had come to Mecca was a lady called Sarah. Sarah was a spy and she knew that if she's sent to Medina, she would be sent back to Mecca, but she was a spy. And Hatib gave her the letter and she hid the letter in her hair. So she combed her hair, she put it in her hair, and she covered her hair. So the Prophet tells Imam Ali that a revelation has come to me that there is someone who has sent a message out to Mecca, and you will find these people, or you'll find this person at this particular place. So Imam Ali with a few companions is going there, and they see this woman, her name's Sarah, and they say, you have a letter. And she says, no, I don't. I've got nothing. They search her bag. She said, I've got nothing. And Imam Ali is known to have said that if the Prophet said you have it, you have it. So either you give it up to me or there will be an issue. There are some ahadith that say, he says, you know what, I will have to take you back or I will kill you or whatever. But in the sense, show me the letter. And from her hair, she takes out the letter. So the letter goes back to the Prophet. He reads the letter as such. He calls Hatib because he knows from Hatib. He calls Hatib. Hatib says, I have written a letter. He explains what he has done. And the Prophet says, I understand. I understand. And he forgives him. And there was a certain companion of the Prophet who said, let's just kill him. The Prophet said, he's fought in the Battle of Badr. He's moved here. He's doing it in good faith. So this ayah is revealed where he's being told that, you know what, you're going off to them with love and compassion as a protective friend. You're appealing to them with love and compassion. They don't care. They really don't care. They're going to see this as a means of knowing that we're going to go there and they're going to kill your wife and children first. That's basically what was being said here. They do not respond to love and compassion. Because had they responded to love and compassion, they would have known not thrown you out. Okay? So basically, in my Quran, I can't show it to you. I think I can. It's like that. So when I annotate it, in the first ayah, I would write, Hatib, wife and children in Mecca, and I would actually write that they will not respond to love and compassion. Those who show animosity. So let me give you an example in today's world. If I were to appeal to Daesh or ISIS, as you call it, with love and compassion, regardless of who I was, they will not going to respond to it. That's exactly the sort of example you have. And look what Allah, he carries on, ayah 2. He says, إِيَثْقَفُوكُمْ. If they, how shall I put this? If they meet with you, if they find you, okay? يَكُونُ لَكُمْ أَعَدَى. They will be your enemies. Okay? وَيَبْسُطُ إِلَيْكُمْ أَيْدِيَهُمْ. And they will stretch their hands towards you. وَأَلْسِنَتَهُمْ. And their tongues بِالسُّوءِ, with evil. That's what they're going to do. They're never going to show love and compassion. وَوَدُّوا لَوْ تَكْفُرُونَ. Because they want you to cover up the truth. They had so long with the Prophet. So many years, 13 years he talked to them. And yet they kicked him out. Yet they wanted to kill him. And all he said was basic human truths. So Allah is telling them, if they find you, they will just kill you. And لَن تَنْفَاقُمْ أَرْحَامُكُمْ وَلَا أَوْلَادُكُمْ. Your relationships will not profit you. Even if they are related to you in Makkah, it will not profit you. Neither your children, أَرْحَامَكُمْ وَلَا أَوْلَادُكُمْ. Those connected to you or your children, يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ, on the day of Qiyamah, يَفْصِلُ بَيْنَكُمْ وَاللَّهُ بِمَا تَعْمَلُونَ بَصِيرٌ. He will decide, فَصْل, you know, even in Urdu we say فَصْل as such. He will decide between you and Allah knows and He sees what you do, basically sees what you do. That's ayah 1 to 3. So that section in essence, as you've got on there, is literally an instruction of moving away, no affection with those who are open enemies of divinity, who are open enemies of humanity. Just move away, saying. Okay. Alright, second section, which is ayah 4 to 8. Now here, for the first time, we see Prophet Ibrahim's companions. He says, قَدْ كَانَتْ لَكُمْ. Indeed for you, أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنَةٌ. The most perfect example, فِي إِبْرَاهِيمِ. In Ibrahim, وَالَّذِينَ مَعَهُ. And those with him. And you have to read the story of Ibrahim. I mean, the lengths he went to try and convince them. Do you remember the sun and the moon and the stars? And he went to great lengths. إِذْ قَالُوا لِقَوْمِهِمْ. So in the end, he tells his people, إِنَّا بَرَاعُ مِنْكُمْ. Indeed, we, and remember this is his companions as well. إِنَّا بَرَاعُ مِنْكُمْ. We disassociate from you. You know, Surah At-Tawbah is known as Bara'a, to disassociate, right? Move away from you. وَمِمَّا تَعْبُدُونَ مِنْ دُونِ اللَّهِ. And we also disassociate from that which you associate with Allah. It's a bit like Surah Al-Kafirun here. Kafarna bikum. Okay, so we disassociate with you. You've written that down. We declare ourselves away from you. وَبَدَعَ بَيْنَكُمْ وَبَيْنَنَا وَبَيْنَكُمُ الْعَدَاوَةُ وَالْبَغْضَاءُ أَبَدًا. Between us and you, there is animosity. Because that's how you've displayed it. حَتَّى until, there's always a way out. حَتَّى تُؤْمِنُوا بِاللَّهِ. Until you believe in Allah, وَحْدَهُ, the only Allah. And then Allah says, إِلَّا قَوْلَ إِبْرَاهِيمِ. Now so to all these he says, I disassociate. But Ibrahim said to his father or to his uncle, لَأَسْتَغْفِرَنَّ لَكَ. I will do istighfar for you. There is a bond. There is a bond that there is an ihsan to him. So I will do istighfar. وَمَا أَمْلِكُ لَكَ مِنَ اللَّهِ مِنْ شَيْءٍ. But I don't have any control. Oh, there is no control over Allah. It is up to Him whether He will forgive you or not. And then the most beautiful dua in this section, which you could use in every kunut. رَبَّنَا عَلَيْكَ تَوَكَّلْنَا. Our Rabb, we rely on you. وَإِلَيْكَ أَنَبْنَا. And to you we return in repentance. It's a spiritual return. It's from Anaba. Anaba is to return to Allah. Wa ilayka al-masir. And to you is the eventual coming. That dua is dua of Ibrahim. It's really, really beautiful. Alayka tawakkalna. On you we trust. We returned back to you. And we know we're going to come back to you. Rabbana la taj'alna fitnatan. Rabb, don't make us a test. Fitna. Fatana is to purify gold. And the only way you can purify gold is you burn it at a high temperature to get rid of the impurities. So we're actually telling him, our Rabb, don't make us a fitna lilladhina kafaru, a trial for those who cover up the truth. We don't want to be of those that they will use as afflict us with so much that it breaks us down. My friend tells me that don't be one of those that he dents so many times that in the end the dents are not manageable. Okay? Don't let them dent you so much. So, رَبَّنَا لَا تَجْعَلْنَا فِتْنَةً لِلَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا وَغَفِرْ لَنَا. Forgive us, رَبَّنَا إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ الْعَزِيزُ الْحَكِيمُ. You are the mighty and you are the wise. You know, in the Quran, and I just like to point this out here, when I asked for forgiveness, you find many places where there's forgiveness. I'd like you to turn, if you've got a Quran with you, If you look at surah number 3, ayah 159. Okay, so I'm looking as well, and you're looking as well. So if you look at 3159, you will see when Allah is talking about the Prophet, فَبِمَا رَحَمَةً مِنَ اللَّهِ لِنْتَ لَهُمْ. It is because of the mercy of Allah that you deal with them gently. If you had been rough and hard-hearted, they would have dispersed from Allah around you. Then Allah tells them, فَعْفُوا عَنْهُمْ وَاسْتَغْفِرُ لَهُمْ. Forgive them. Pardon them completely. Af, you know, is pardon them without any trace at all. And ask forgiveness for them. Allah is telling the Prophet. And you all know Surah Yusuf. If you've been listening to the Thursday talks, then it's about Surah Yusuf. And Surah number 12, I'm just going to check what ayah. I think it's 97. You probably all have seen it. Where Prophet Yaqub tells his sons, Sawfa astaghfir lakum Rabbi. Despite the fact of what they did, that I will ask forgiveness for you. So you see, Ibrahim talks like that about his father as well. I'll conceptualize it or put it all together in a minute. So then we have ayah number 7. So we're now going to the third section. So the second section was a role model in Ibrahim. I would put there to his people, he says, I'm distancing myself to whatever you worship until you believe. And I trust in Allah. With whatever happens, I trust in Allah. So that's just sort of a synopsis of the second section. Now the third section. The third section is basically telling you and me that you can't brush everyone with the same, or paint everyone with the same brush. So a whole people, you can't condemn everyone. You know, very many times and very wrongly, and I say that very, very wrongly, we brush everyone who is Jewish with the same brush. My best friend is a Jewish rabbi. When I say best friend, that is a Jewish rabbi. I have a friend who is, and you all know her. I mean, I don't see anybody who goes to Lesbos from here, even in these times, to go and provide for the Muslims there, but she does. She collects stuff from us, from all of us, and then she takes it to Lesbos. We don't go because we're scared of traveling, but she isn't. She was sitting in the synagogue one day, and she talks a lot about the Holocaust. And she said, I'm sitting here. I talk about the Holocaust, but the Holocaust that's going on in my back garden, I don't do anything about it. And she's talking about the Muslims that were sort of refugees everywhere. So, you know what? Don't paint everybody with the same brush. And when anybody talks to me about it, I quote Surah Al-Mumtahanah. Look at ayah 7. So Allah says here, sorry, I forgot ayah 6. Let me just finish it. لَكَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنَةٌ لِمَنْ كَانَ يَرْجُ اللَّهَ. He is a good example for he who wishes to يَرْجُ اللَّهَ, who knows that he's going to return to Allah, وَالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ, believes in accountability, وَمَنْ يَتَوَلَّ, but whoever turns back, فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ هُوَ الْغَنِيُّ الْحَمِيدُ. Allah is Ghani, which means he's self-sufficient and he is praiseworthy and he's thankful. Hamid also means to be thankful as well. It's praise and thankfulness with it. So now we go to ayah 7. Sorry, I skipped ayah 6. So ayah 7 is saying, don't paint everybody with the same brush. Allah says, Asallahu, maybe Allah, أَن يَجْعَلَ بَيْنَكُمْ وَبَيْنَ الَّذِينَ, that He will bring about between you and those عَدَيْتُمْ who showed enmity at that time, who hold your enemies, مِنْهُمْ مَوَدَّةٌ. He may bring about this selfless love. Don't treat an entire people as enemies. You know, victory might remove the animosity. Maybe the conquest of Makkah will remove it, which it did for a lot of people. Wallahu Qadir, Allah has control over everything. Wallahu Ghafur Rahim. Now let me just tell you a few things. The Prophet married Habiba. Habiba was the daughter of Abu Sufyan. Abu Sufyan was a, you know who he was, and he still was, yet he married Habiba. There is an incident about Asma, who was the daughter of Abu Bakr. Her mom came to visit from Makkah to Medina. She refused her mom to come into the house. This is historical. This ayah was revealed, and she allowed her mom to come in. You can't paint everybody with the same brush, Allah is saying. You never know what's going to happen. Now he says, La yanhakum Allah. Allah does not forbid you عن الذين لم يقاتلوكم في الدين, those who have not killed you because of your religion, who didn't start a war because of who you are, ولم يخرجكم من دياركم, and they did not chase you out of your homes. أن تبروهم وتقسطوا إليهم. He didn't say that you should not show bir, goodness, righteousness to them, that you should not show qist to them. Qist is transparent justice. He didn't say paint them with the same brush. إن الله يحب المقسطين. Allah loves those who are just. There are several words for justice in Arabic. Adala means putting something in its place. Qist is further. Qist is total justice. You cannot be unjust to them. You know, when we see the slogan of Black Lives Matter, it's talking about the same thing. You cannot judge anybody according to the color of their skin or judge them according to their race, religion, whatever. You just can't. Unless, here it's quite clear, unless they are fighting with you, in other words, they're killing you, or they are chasing you out of your homes. You can't paint everybody with the same brush. And he says, وَمَنْ يَتَوَلَّهُمْ وَرَوِي. Okay, where are you? 8. He says, إِنَّ اللَّهَ يُحِبُّ الْمُقْسِطِينَ. Now, who does he say you should not associate with? إِنَّمَا, indeed, he says, يَنْحَاكُمُ اللَّهُ. Allah forbids you. نَحْيَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ, you know, he forbids you. عَنِ الَّذِينَ, those who, respecting those, قَاتَلُوكُمْ فِي الدِّينَ. Those who kill you, who fight with you, who made war with you, just because of who you are. وَأَخْرَجُوكُمْ مِنْ دِيَارِكُمْ, who chase you out of your homes. وَذَاهَرُوا عَلَىٰ إِخْرَاجِكُمْ. And not only do they drive you away, if others are driving you out of your homes, they actually back them up. أَنْ تَوَلَّوْهُمْ, that you make friends with them. They're the only friends you don't make. وَمَنْ يَتَوَلَّهُمْ فَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الظَّالِمُونَ. If you make friends with them, then obviously you are being unjust. So there's only 3 reasons why I would move myself away from someone. 1, if they fought with me because I am a Shia, because I'm a Muslim. 2, they chased me out of my home. And 3, they supported others who chased me out of my home. Refugees come across the same thing. That's sometimes what we do. Okay. So that ends that section, which is 7 to 9. In other words, I would put that in one section saying, I have to be just and compassionate to those who don't show animosity. That's what I have to do. A long, long time ago, not anymore, because now you have to pay for carrier bags. A long time ago, people used to take more carrier bags than they were supposed to from supermarkets because they thought they were taking them from people who weren't Muslims. You can't do that. It's stealing. Just because of people, you just can't. And if you have done that, go send money back to Tesco, Sainsbury's, wherever you have. There's a lot of things. We don't pay our taxes because we think we're entitled to not pay our taxes. Yeah, it's not true. These are all part of the same thing here. It's really important to understand. Okay, so now we come to the last section, Ayah 10 to 13. And this is basically protection to those women. See what Allah says. Now this is where the name of the surah comes from. Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu, O you who believe. Idha ja'akum, when comes to you, mu'minat, believing women. Remember when that man came back and said, I want my wife back. He was told that was only for men. That treaty was for men, not for women. Okay. So what happens? These women came. Idha ja'akum al-mu'minat. Muhajirat, they've done hijrah. Now it wasn't like today. You can't just get on an aeroplane and get there. This was, they made a long journey to get away from Makkah. So they did hijrah from Makkah to Medina. The first thing Allah says, فَامْتَحِنُوهُنَّ. Take their imtihan. Border control. Find out why they've come. Talk to them. Ask them. But he also says, اللَّهُ أَعْلَمُ بِإِمَانِهِنَّ. Allah knows their faith. You can only ask. You cannot test somebody's iman, but you can ask them why they are here. I mean, everywhere we go, when you and I go on a trip abroad, they always ask us, why are you here? I used to go to the States often to see my mother. And because I went so often, once a month sometimes, I think the border control knew me and they would say, is it mom again? And I would say yes. So I didn't even have to tell them. and they would say, how is she? And I remember when I went after she died, and they said, mom again. I said, yes, but not in the same way. And after that, when I went, they never asked me. So I don't know, whatever it was. Anyway, so فَانْتَنِحِنُهُنَّ, say if you can remember border control. اللَّهُ أَعْلَمُ بِإِيمَانِهِنَّ. Then Allah says, فَإِنْ عَلِمْتُمُهُنَّ مُؤْمِنَاتٍ. You find out that they're believing. So they've told you, we believe. He didn't say, investigate to a sense where you kill them. He just said, now they've declared to you that they believe. فَلَا تَرْجِعُوهُنَّ إِلَى الْكُفَّارِ. Do not return them to those who have covered up the truth. Don't return them to the Meccans. لَا هُنَّ حَلٌّ لَهُمْ وَلَا هُمْ يَحِلُّونَ لَهُنَّ. They are not halal to them, and those men are not halal to them. In other words, there's a divine divorce. Allah has proclaimed divorce. Do not send them back. They are not halal to them, and the men are not halal to them as well. And then look what he says. وَآتُوهُمْ مَا أَنْفَكُوا. If those men come and say, but this is what I gave as a gift to my wife. I gave her this much money. This is the mahar I gave, for example. Give it back from the treasury. وَآتُوهُمْ مَا أَنْفَكُوا. Whatever they've spent, give it back to them. So don't keep what they have kept saying that we're holding you because of that mahar. Give it back. وَلَا جُنَاحَ عَلَيْكُمْ. Now, after you've given it back and they're free of their men, there is no blame on you. أَن تَنْكَهُهُنَّ. That you marry them. You do nikah. But look what he says. إِذَا آتَيْتُمُهُنَّ أُجُورَهُنَّ. But you must give them the due mahar that was due to them. You can't say, because you're refugees, I can do you in and I don't have to give you anything. So in other words, you've got to be fair. Ajr means what is due to them. وَلَا تُمْسِكُ. And don't hold them. بِإِسْمِ الْقَوَافِرِ. Don't hold them to the ties. Don't hold yourself to the ties of the women whom you left behind in Makkah who refused to believe. So don't say, now I'm attached to that. I'm going to stay there all the time. How shall I put it? If they refuse to believe, they refuse to come with you, they're in Makkah, you don't want to marry in Medina because you're thinking of that wife there who refuses to believe, don't tie yourself to them. But was'alu ma anfaqtum, in the same way that the Makkans asked you for the gifts back, you can ask your wives for your gifts back as well. But they're not going to pay you. Wal yas'alu ma anfaqu. And ask them what they have spent. ذَلِكُمْ حُكْمُ اللَّهِ. This is the judgment of Allah. يَحْكُمُ بَيْنَكُمْ. He will judge between you. وَاللَّهُ عَلِيمٌ حَكِيمٌ. And He is knowledgeable and wise. You got to take this each bit at a time. Okay? Alright. So basically it's saying, you will not send the women back. There is a divine divorce. You will give back the men whatever they've spent for. If you have wives there, don't grieve over what you've left. They don't want to believe. They don't want to come back to you. So ask them for what you have given them. They give it, fair enough. If they don't, fair enough. Allah will judge according to that. Okay. Then he says, وَإِن فَاتَكُمْ شَيْئًا مِّنْ أَزْوَاجِكُمْ. If anything that you have given, if you have lost something, fatakum is to lose. If you've lost something that you gave to your wives from the kuffar, فَأَعْقَبْتُمْ فَاتُ الَّذِينَ ذَحَبَتْ أَزْوَاجَهُمْ. And when it so happens that you are able to get some, if I can say, spoils of war, then the treasury should give you that money back. So that مِثْلَ مَا أَنْفَقُوا, so that you can give it to your new wife. How shall I put it? So say, for example, you are married to somebody in Makkah, and that woman did not give back what you gave them as gifts, and they had their arrangements at that time, the marriages were such, where the gift was given with a condition. Today even people make those conditions. It is recommended you don't do those conditions. You give things without wanting them back. Today when there's a divorce, people want their jewelry back. But if you've gifted it without making a condition, then you can't take it back. However, at that time, there wasn't a mahar as in the Islamic mahar. The kuffar had a gift that they gave. Those who covered up the truth gave a gift, which you gave back when you went through a divorce, right? So if they don't give it back to you, and then there is some spoils of war, then you are entitled from the treasury to get something to give to your new wife. In other words, you cannot have your new wife with nothing, because you say, well, I've given it all to the old wife, and therefore I can't give you anything now, because I can't afford it. Remember, these people couldn't afford it. They left everything in Makkah to come here. This is historical, okay? But for us, there is a lesson. You can't tell somebody, I can't give you this because I don't have the money or whatever. Or I can't. Maybe I'll give it to you later. So lots of lessons in here. And he says, وَاتَّقُوا. In other words, you have to be fair to everyone. Be God conscious. الَّذِي أَنْتُمْ بِهِ مُؤْمِنُونَ. If you believe. This is very historical, but very, very relevant. Okay. If you look in the Quran, you will find loads of, you know, the Prophet took lots of pledges, the pledges of Aqaba, the pledge with a lot of people. But this was a really important pledge. This was a pledge taken with the women. And therefore, it really puts women's position up. He took allegiances from many, many people. But this is the one that he highlighted word to word. Ya ayyuhan Nabi, O Prophet, إِذَا جَاءَكَ الْمُؤْمِنَاتِ. When a believing woman comes to you, يُبَايِعْنَكَ. You will take bayat from her. Okay. Now what is the bayat? Number one. An la yushriqna billahi shay'an. She will not associate anything with Allah. No shirk. That's number one. Wala yusriqna. She will not steal. Wala yaznina. She will not engage in unlawful intimacy. She will not betray anyone. وَلَا يَقْتُلْنَا أَوْلَادَهُنَّ. She will not kill her children. She will not have abortions. وَلَا يَعْتِينَا. And this is quite a strong word here. Okay. وَلَا يَعْتِينَا بِبُهْتَانٍ يَقْتَرِينَهُ بَيْنَ أَيْدِيهِنَّ. She will not spread rumors or tell lies or start any sort of rumors. And it's quite difficult to try and between her arms and her legs. In other words, wherever she goes, she will not spread gossip. She will not spread rumors. That's number four. And the last one. وَلَا يَعْسِينَكَ فِي مَعْرُوفٍ. She will not disobey you in what she knows. مَعْرُوف is that which is recognized. If she doesn't recognize something, she may ask you questions. But in that which she recognizes, she will not say no. Look at it's so just. It doesn't say she will not disobey you completely. So she will not disobey you in that which she recognizes, in what she knows. And when she takes that pledge, فَبَايَعْهُنَّ. Take her pledge. Accept. فَبَايَعْهُنَّ. Accept her promise. وَاسْتَغْفِرْ لَهُنَّ اللَّهِ. And ask forgiveness for them from Allah. إِنَّ اللَّهَ غَفُورٌ رَحِيمٌ. Allah is forgiving and Allah is merciful. Can you imagine how difficult it might have been for them? They've left a whole family in Makkah. They've come here just so that they believe, because they believe. They know they can't stay in Makkah because of that. If you just look at the trials these women went through, so now there's a divine divorce, you're divorced from your family, you've come here, these men look at you with such, they sort of think, oh my goodness, I don't know what she's like. This is now giving them this sanctity, it is giving them an honor that once they've done this, they are now believers. And you just imagine, I just think of these women when they went back to Makkah and they saw their husband and their families, the previous husbands. Imagine how difficult it must be for them. But this is telling the Prophet, you will accord them total protection. It is telling the women who married them, they are now under your protection. Or the men who married them, you're now under their protection. And total, it's not like you have taken them because nobody was there for them. You're giving them full mahar, you're giving them everything, and if you can't afford it, the treasury will give it. Finally, Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu, O you who believe, La tatawallaw qawman ghadiballah. Do not make friends. Do not incline yourselves toward people with whom Allah is angry. Every day you and I say, Siratul ladhina an'amta alayhim ghayril maghdub. It is this ayah. So who are the people that Allah is angry with? It's a question. And that question in my everyday salat is answered here. He says, Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu, la tatawallaw qawman ghadiba Allahu alayhim. Who is Allah angry with? He's angry with those, قَدْ يَعِسُوا مِنَ الْآخِرَةِ كَمَا يَعِسَ الْكُفَّارِ. They have given up. يَعِسُوا is to give up. They have given up hope. They do not believe in the akhirah. They do not believe in accountability. كَمَا يَعِسَ الْكُفَّارِ, just like those who cover up the truth, مِنْ أَصْحَابِ الْكُبُورِ, like they have given up to those who are buried in the qabr. So to them, there are a lot of the tafsir. One says that they think they're never going to see them again. So once they're buried, they think, khalas, they're dead. It may refer to those who tell us that we respect those who are buried, who were shaheed, for example. So when we say, do not think, لَا تَحْسَبَنَّ الَّذِينَ كُتِلُوا فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ أَمْوَاتًا, do not even think of those who were killed in the way of Allah as dead, بَلْ أَحْيَاؤُنْ عِنْدَ رَبِّهِمْ, they are alive with their Rabb. He gives them risk. Maybe it is referring to those, because they believed once you are dead, that was the end. We don't believe that. So Allah is angry with those who, and it's quite clear here, who don't believe in accountability and who don't believe that there is a life after death. So, you know, there are so many ahadith that tells you if a mother or a woman dies looking after her family, she dies the death of a shaheed. It's as simple as that. If a person dies earning halal risk, they die the death of a shaheed. So they're still alive. They don't die. They're still there. So a good ayah to sort of ponder about, because they think it is the end because they have no concept of the hereafter. So maybe when you're reciting your Maghrib Salah or your Asr Salah and you recite غَيْرِ الْمَغْضُوبِ, in the head should come Suratul Mumtahana, Ayah 13. They are those who do not believe in the hereafter and they don't believe that there is a life after death. Okay, so let's sum it all up. We have Suratul Mumtahana. You think, the moment you think imtihan, you think to be examined. It's also known as mawadda. It is known as imtihan. The title is from the women who left Makkah for Medina. Preacher of Hudaybiyah said they should be sent back. Quran says that was only for men, not for women. They were accorded, not only were they accorded protection, they were accorded dignity as well. So they were totally, you know, dignified. They were accepted there. Four sections. First section, if there's an open enemy of divinity, there are no way, regardless of what they call themselves, they are not going to show you any love and compassion. None whatsoever. I gave you the example of ISIS. I call this ISIS because it's easy for me to understand. The second section, look at Prophet Ibrahim. Once he tried so hard with his people, then he said, I disassociate myself with you and whatever you worship until you start worshiping. But his father, there is a son or his uncle. He raised him. He says, I will ask forgiveness for you. But then I rely on Allah, and to you I turn, and to you I have to come back. Third section, you can't brush everybody or paint somebody with the same paint or same brush, whatever you want to call it. So those who do not show animosity towards you, as that they don't fight with you, they don't take you out of your homes, or they don't back up those who take you out of your homes, you cannot show animosity. Allah says you never know. Things might change, but you've got to be just and compassionate. And finally, the last one, protection accorded and the oath of allegiance is in detail. It gives them complete honor. Once you believe, no questions asked. None whatsoever. Phenomenal surah. Actually phenomenal.